We have special music this morning by Sister Sherry LaKofka.
Lord, until you find him, and this song will be just as precious to you.
Amen.
appreciate the good song, good message in that song. Well, I want to ask for your prayers today, and I want to read some scripture today from the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, turn to Mark chapter 6, and I want to begin reading there with verse 14 and read through about verse 29. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, and danced, and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." And he sware unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom." And she went forth and said unto her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. And he brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And that's reading from the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, verses 14 through 29, for a scripture reading. In the Bible, and you can read this language is used at different times, but one place is in the 13th chapter of Acts in the 46th verse. And it became necessary there for Paul and Barnabas to make a stand. The things that they were saying were being disputed by many that were hearing them, and it became necessary for them to make a stand. And the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. And I want to use that today, those words in the title, and I believe that it's time for us to wax bold. And I want you to think about these words that I have read from you or before you today from Mark chapter 6 about that's exactly what John the Baptist did when he stood before Herod. He waxed bold. And what I'm talking about in this is that we need to stand up for what is right. Amen. We need to stand up for what is true. We need to stand up for the Lord. We need to stand up and be recognized. We need to stand up and be counted. I wonder how many of you today, and this may take your minds way back. For many of you today, this may take you in your memory back to elementary school. But I remember, or I wonder rather, how many of you today remember these things. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. You know what I wonder today? I wonder how many of our political leaders even remember those words. Don't you? Seriously? I wonder how many of our leaders today even reflect upon those things from 1776. How about this? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. You remember those words? You remember what that is? That's our First Amendment rights. And you know, we need to stand up for what this country was given through a great struggle. We don't need to just discard it and let it go because our forefathers fought hard. And I heard this morning, you know, I really thought about when the Lord placed these things upon my heart, I really thought, well, I generally don't use things like that in a sermon. And I heard this morning downstairs, I was downstairs for just a moment, and I heard Brother Fugate in his class talking about this very thing. I heard in the prayer, the beautiful prayer that was led this morning, how that we have freedom of worship here in our country. And there were people that fought a hard fight for us to be able to have that. And, you know, I want you to notice, before I go back to the scriptures, I want you to notice what the words that I read to you from our Declaration of Independence and what they said. It tells us in that the founding fathers believed that people had certain rights. They believed that there were specific certain rights that we had. That we have these rights because God gave them to us. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Certain rights and given to us by God who created us. Now, you know, I want you to know, and I believe that you do know, maybe I should say this, I want to remind you that the spirit of these things, the spirit of these writings is very important. You know, we need to look beyond, you know, Israel had a problem looking beyond the letter of the law. And we need to understand the spirit in which these things were written and the intent behind them. And I assure you that our founding fathers and those responsible for such writings as these, they never did believe that people had to the right to live their life any vile way that they wanted to live it. That was never their intention. I assure you of that. They did not ever believe that if people tried to introduce into society vile, sinful, ungodly lifestyles that totally went against God's word that nobody else had a right to speak about, to speak against those things. They never did believe such a thing as that. They never did believe that when somebody stood up for what they thought was right, that they should be charged with a hate crime. That never was the spirit of these writings. They never did believe that a woman had the right to abort a child just because having that child would cramp her lifestyle. They never did believe that people had a right to enter into a spousal relationship with someone of their own gender. That's not what they believed when they spoke about these unalienable rights that we have. They never believed those things. They couldn't have believed those things because they believed that the rights that we have were given to us by God. And these things completely and utterly contradict the teachings of God's word. And so, you know, what they were saying was that we have the right and we have the responsibility to stand up for God and for the things that are taught in His Word. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I've always believed. There are people in the world that they don't agree with the things that I believe from the Scriptures. They don't see God's Word exactly the same way as I see it. There are people in the world today that don't see God's Word the way that you see it. There are people that believe things from God's Word that I'm convinced their beliefs are false. And I, you know, have and I will stand and, you know, proclaim what I believe to be the truth. But I'll tell you what, I have respect for anybody that will stand up for what they believe according to God's word. And you know, as the saying goes, I may not agree with what you believe, but I will defend to the death your right to believe it. And that's the spirit upon which this country was founded. People came here looking for freedom of worship. People came to the shores of this country looking for freedom of religion, looking for a home where they could worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience without being hassled and harassed about it and without it being illegal. And so, you know, when people first arrived here in this country, that wasn't yet the case because people were still being persecuted for their religious beliefs. And we're going, a big group of us is going again this year to Virginia on the history tour to be there and see things and walk there on the ground where a lot of this persecution in this nation took place. But people here in the early years of our country, God's people were still being persecuted for those things which they believed. And I'm telling you, you know, you ought to get out your history books and you ought to read history according to truth. Because there's a distorted view of it that's being taught in the world today and taught to our children today. And we need to make sure that they know the truth. And I'm telling you that our Baptist forefathers, they fought a hard fight for us to have what we have enjoyed in our lifetime. Now, there's not one of us here today that has ever lived under that type of yoke. All of us, you know, from the oldest in the congregation to the youngest here today, all of us have lived our life under a cloak of religious freedom. We don't know what it's like to be beaten. We don't know what it's like to be arrested. We don't know what it's like to be harassed in that way for the things that we believe. But I'm going to tell you this, lest we forget, we are not very many years removed from that. You know, if you really stop and think about it, if you look at time since it began, we're not very far removed from Civil War days. We're really not that many years removed from that. And we're not many years removed from the time that God's people, Baptist people here in this land, were physically persecuted. They were beaten. They were bloodied because of the things that they believed. Well, you know what? I thank God that they were willing to stand. And I'm afraid today that we perhaps have let the devil and society back us into a corner. And that shouldn't be true. That should never be true for God's people. We ought to be willing to stand up for what's right. We need to be like Josiah. All of us need to be like Josiah. We need to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. We don't need to turn away from it to the left hand or to the right hand. We need to walk the straight, narrow path that's laid out for us in God's Word and be willing to stand up for the Lord regardless of how much we're liked, of how popular that it will make you with your worldly friends. You know what? We need to instill in our young people that very same thing. These things that I'm talking about today ought to be precious to us. No amens? Come on. These things ought to mean a great deal to us. And, you know, we know if we're going to really look at the facts, we see these things slipping rapidly away from us. I don't want anybody telling me what I can't preach. Because God called me to preach and He expects me to preach the truth. And when things are wrong according to God's Word, then we need to stand up and say they're wrong. And when things are right according to God's Word, then we need to take a stand for what is right. I appreciate what Brother Wheat did here a couple weeks ago, don't you? I appreciate the stand that he took, and we need to be behind him because that's just wrong. What he was talking about in that petition, it's just wrong. Well, you know, I believe that God's people, prior to the birth of this nation, I believe that God's people have always believed this. That they have always believed, and I think we have an example of it here with John the Baptist, that they have always believed that they had the God-given right to stand up for what's true. And, you know, when John the Baptist stood before Herod in the day that he lived in, don't you know that John was well aware that what he was doing, the stand that he was taking, when he waxed bold the way that he did, you've got to understand that he was well aware the consequences that he could face for doing that. But when he stood before Herod the king and told him what he did, when he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife, he wasn't just rebuking Herod for breaking some type of secular law, but he was talking about the fact that he had transgressed God's law. God's law. I heard it being spoken about, like I said, for just a moment downstairs this morning. We are expected as God's people to be law-abiding citizens. God expects that of us. You know, the Bible speaks about those who enforce the law. I know, you know, we may be driving down the street and we may be going too fast or something like that, And the next thing we know, we see those flashing lights behind us, and we're like, oh no, the cops. You know what the Bible says about those that enforce the law? That they're God's ministers. They're His ministers. They're there for that purpose. And, you know, society would be in bad shape without them. And so, you know, we are to obey the laws of the land until they contradict the laws of God. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us. In the fifth chapter of the gospel, according to Acts, when they arrested some of the apostles for preaching in the name of Jesus, and they commanded them that they were not to do that anymore. Now, you know what? You and I, if time goes on just a little further here in this country, the time could very well come when people in leadership positions try to tell us again, you are not to preach these things. You are not to preach these things according to God's word. And just as the apostles did when they told them that, when God by His power caused them to escape from the prison there. Well, they went right out and they continued to do those things they were doing before and preach the same Jesus that they were preaching before. And when they were called on the carpet for that, and they said to them, did we not command you not to teach and preach in this name anymore, but you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine? You know what? I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, everything they tell us that we need to quit preaching, we need to preach it harder. We just need to preach it harder. And the Apostle Peter, in that, he spoke a great truth. He just said, well, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, listen, down through the ages of time, people have stood for God to the point where they lost their lives. The pages of history are soaked with their blood. People have given up their lives rather than denounce their faith in the Lord, rather than give up their beliefs of the Scriptures. People have given up their lives. And, you know, we could sit and think about that, and we could think, well, what a great cost that is. You know, what a high cost that is to wax bold and to stand for the Lord. But let me ask you something. For a child of God, what good is life without the liberty to preach the truth? Without the liberty to stand for God, what good are we? Nothing. We're no good at all if we don't do that. If we don't be what God left us here to be and do what God left us here to do, then we're not living, we're just existing. And you know what I believe? I believe that's the attitude that helped the people of God in past days do the things that they did. Because we belong to the Lord. He purchased us with His blood, and He gave to us not only the God-given right, but He laid up on us the responsibility to be His mouthpiece, to stand for Him, to stand up and be heard. You know, I'm convinced today that a lot of the things, a lot of the horrible things that have happened in this country in the last 10 years, I'm convinced today that a lot of those things have happened because those that were against it just would not speak up. Now, you can believe what you want to believe, but that's exactly what I believe about it. We've just been silent too long. I'm not talking about marches, and I'm not talking about protest and marching around places with signs. I'm talking about standing up for God. I'm talking about standing for the truth. I'm talking about being John the Baptist and being Paul and Barnabas and the Apostle Peter and obeying those things that we ought to obey until they begin to contradict God's word. And listen, if it's in here, listen, if God's word tells us to do it, then we're going to sin if we don't. If his word tells us not to do it, then we're going to sin if we do. And, you know, the things that God gave to us in his moral law, the Bible teaches me that under the new covenant, those of us who have been saved, he wrote those laws down in our hearts and created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, and we represent the Lord. We represent the Lord. We are here to speak for him. Perhaps if we were more willing to do that, perhaps if we had been more willing to be God's people, then some of these things that we're seeing may have not happened. I'm going to tell you something, and I can prove this to you easy enough through history. But the politicians of this country in the early years, they were concerned with what the Baptists had to say. They were concerned with what they might think about this. And I don't know how many people are even aware of it. I don't know how many of our children today even know his name or how many people are even aware of him. But there was a Baptist preacher that lived in the 1700s by the name of John Leland. And I'm telling you, God used that man in a mighty way, and we owe to him a great deal of gratitude for his stand in what became our First Amendment rights, the freedom of religion. When him and James Madison met there in Virginia, there under that big oak tree, you know, I believe from what I've read, Madison came there to win him over, but it ended up being the other way around. And they had, you know, when Madison agreed, then he had their support. Let me tell you something. Don't support anybody. Don't support any leader that goes against the things of God. We don't need to support that type of garbage. And we need to stand up against it. It's time for us to be God's people. It's time for us to wax bold. I love this country. I raised my hand years ago and took an oath and put on a uniform and served. Many people have done that. We don't need to be complacent. We don't need to just turn our heads and hope things get better. We need to do what God expects us to do. We need to stand up for what's right. We have the right to serve our God. And we have the responsibility to serve our God, to speak for what's right. Those are the thoughts that the Lord gave me to share with Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church today. We need to think about our children and our grandchildren. You know, those people that gave their lives for the cause of Christ, I'll guarantee you, they were looking beyond themselves. They were looking to their posterity. They were looking to their descendants. They were looking to their children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren that might come after them. And I'll guarantee you that it was on their minds, if I don't stand up for this, they may not have access to the gospel the way that I did. Right now, and I think we all know it's true, right now these beautiful children, they're growing up in a much different nation than we did. Way different. I believe God can help us regain, don't you? If God be for us, who can be against us? I believe that God can help us regain ground. But it won't work if we're silent. We've got to do our part. We've got to be willing to do what's right. We've got to be willing to stand as they did in the days of old, in the workplace, in the marketplace, and wax bold and stand up for God. And let our voices be heard. Now, Brother Strode, I don't know if you've got an appropriate song or not for this, but I'm going to turn the service to you and ask you while we stand to have a song. And I want to ask everybody today to follow the Lord and do what God would have you to do.